Let's open our Bibles again to Psalm 13. I've entitled the message this evening, How Long Will This Last? How long will this last? David begins this psalm sighing. Look here at verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, David asks a question here that at some point every believer asks. How long are you going to forget me? Have you forgotten me? And I read all the writers I normally read, and most of them were kind of hard on old David for asking this question. How long, Lord, will you forget me? And they're kind of hard on him. I see their point. We know this. God's never going to forget the people that he loves. Now, we know that. Yet, why is it that at some point every believer asks this question? Even though we know that, every believer asks this question, Lord, have you forgotten me? Why do we ask that? Well, I could think of several reasons, and they all had to do with who we are. I tell Janet this all the time. Everybody thinks that other people are just like them, that they're motivated by the same things, they think the same things. We do God a great disservice when we think that he's anything like us. That's why we think that the Lord would forget us. We think somehow he's like us. We think God could forget me because I can forget God who I love. I mean, honestly, I love the Lord. I just sung it. I love the Lord. But God forgetting? I must be able to. When the Lord instituted the Lord's table, he gave us this commandment. This do in remembrance of me. We must need to be reminded. Second, I think we ask that question because we could forget the people who we love. Look over in Isaiah chapter 49. Now, we can forget the people that we love, but God can't. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. That's what Zion says. And here's the Lord's answer. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lord will not and cannot forget his people. The people that he chose to save. The people that he suffered and bled and died for. He said, I can't forget those people. The Lord said, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. What he's talking about there is the scars that he suffered. Being crucified for his people. He suffered when he was made a curse. He suffered those scars being nailed to the cursed tree. The Lord says, I have a constant reminder of my love for you and my sacrifice for you in my own body. I won't forget you. I died for you. I will not forget you. I will not let you go. And now we know that's true. Yet believers still ask this. David did. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David asked this question. The believers there in Israel in Isaiah 49 asked this question, and we do ask the same question from time to time. And that's exactly why the Lord moved David to write this question. Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? You know, we can't identify, I don't reckon anybody here can identify with David when he went out there to fight the giant Goliath. Goliath was armed to the teeth, and David went out there with a slingshot. He was so bold and courageous. It's hard for us to identify with David there in the battle. But every one of us, full of fear and doubt and trembling, can identify with David when he asks, how long will you forget me, O Lord? See, we know the right doctrine up here. The Lord's not going to forget his people. But here's what we worry. We worry. Could I really be one of those people that the Father loved, that he chose to save? Could I be one of those people? Could I be one of those people? I know Christ died for sinners. Could he do that for me? I know the Spirit gives life to his people. But could he have given me life like that? You know, we think of John Newton as a giant in the faith, don't we? Oh, what a courageous man. He's a great preacher, a great songwriter. He wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. In such confidence, Newton wrote, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. Grace is going to lead me home. He was so confident. Yet that same man, so full of doubt and fear, wrote this. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my son and my song, say, why do I languish and pine? And why are my winters so long? Have you clean forgotten me? How long will this winter last? In another song he wrote, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure could they be worse who've never heard his name. Doesn't sound like the same fellow, does it? Yet every child of God has wondered the exact same thing. How long is this going to last? David asked this four different ways. How long? Four different how longs. First he says, how long will you forget me, Lord? Well, we know the answer's never. The Lord never forgets his people. We know that because he promised it. So that brings us to the second how long. If the Lord won't forget me, how long is he going to hide his face from me? Have you been there where David is? How long will the Lord hide his face from me? I look for him. I can't see him. No matter where I look, I cannot find the Savior. I know he's everywhere, but when I look, I can't find him. I know he's on every page of this book. I know it. Yet when I read it, all I see is blessing for somebody else and condemnation for me. I can't see him. Now that's miserable. And that is that the definition of misery? And we ask this, how long will that last? How long will the Lord hide his face from me? Just a little while. Look in Isaiah 54. Just a little while. And then it's going to end. In great mercy, because our God's great in mercy. Isaiah 54, verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. How long will it last? Just a little while. And he'll reveal himself again, just a little while. Well, here's the third how long, verse 2. How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Now here I am, David says, in the midst of this trouble. I seek the Lord's face, but I can't see him. He's hid his face from me. So I look for solutions. I look for solutions in myself. I'm taking counsel of my own soul. I'm looking for solutions in myself. I'm trying to look at my own ideas or ideas of other people from self-help books or something, you know. And that's just going to leave us in utter misery. There is no help in man. Man doesn't have any good ideas. If you're looking for ideas from men, you're going to just be left in misery. In that song I quoted earlier, 'Tis a Point I Long to Know, there's a verse in there, Newton got right down to the root of the problem. He said, when I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If you go to looking within, that's the only conclusion you can come to. If I look within, that's what I see. Everything is dark and vain and wild. How could I be a child of God? And we ask, How long is this misery going to last? Me taking counsel with my own self, how long is this misery going to last? Well, it's going to last until the Lord reveals His face again. In just a moment, He's going to reveal His face again. So, what do I do in the meantime? Quit looking in here. Look out of myself. And keep looking for the Lord. He's going to reveal Himself. And then here's the fourth how long. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, none of us want our enemies to get the upper hand over us, do we? None of us want our enemies controlling us. But of all the enemies that we have, there's one we ought to fear the most. It's ourselves. It's our own sin. There's a civil war going on inside every believer. And every believer gets frightened about this war. That warfare between the old man and the new man. Now, the old man cannot prevail. He can't prevail. Christ is king. He can't rule for long. Before there's times he gets some influence in there. You know who made us look inside ourselves and take counsel with inside ourselves in the first place? It's that old man. That old man, he's the one that gets us, starts whispering in our ear the thing that makes us fear the most. The Lord's going to get you. The Lord's going to give you what your sin deserves. If our enemy prevails over us, we're going to be damned, aren't we? Oh, what fear, what misery, what utter misery to go through this life constantly fearing the next life. What misery to constantly go through this life fearing the judgment. But the believer can have joy. Even going through the valley of the shadow of death, the believer can have joy if we know this. There's no fear. If Christ is our sacrifice, if Christ is our sacrifice, He put our sin away. If Christ is my substitute, I've got no fear. He's already been condemned for me. If Christ is my life, I don't fear death because Christ is my life. But if we don't have Christ, there's nothing but fear, nothing but constant fear. And the believer's fear is the greatest. When we can't see Christ. When it feels like my sin is reigning over me, controlling me. I know the right doctrine. I know that God's in control. But all I can see is my sin reigning over me. How long? How long is this miserable fear going to last? Well, it's going to last until Christ comes. Puts our sin away. It's gonna last until Christ comes and reveals His face to us, and then that fear is gonna end. You see, there's a reason that believers find themselves in this situation where they ask these four how longs. There's a reason. It's not an accident. There's a reason for it. The Lord hides His face from His people for just a little moment. He lets us go through this time of misery like David is describing here, so that we'll seek Him. So that we'll call on Him. So that we'll beg Him. So that we'll seek Him in prayer. And that's what happened to David. Here's our second point. First, David began sighing. But now he goes from sighing to praying. Verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now here's a good prayer for all times. But especially if the Lord's hidden His face from us for a moment. This is a good prayer. Consider me and hear me, O my God. That word consider, it means to look on me intently with pleasure or regard. What's David praying? Look at me in Christ. That's the only way God can look at me in pleasure or regard is in Christ. Look at me in Christ. And hear doesn't just mean hear. That word means hear and respond. Lord, respond. Answer my prayer in Christ. Hear me in Christ. See me in Christ. And answer me in Christ for Christ's sake. See, now David starts to have some confidence that when he begins to pray, he starts to have some confidence. Did you notice what he calls the Lord here? the Lord my God. Some of that fear, some of that doubt's been taken away, and now he says the Lord is my God. We can pray with confidence and with a good hope if the Lord is my God. He's my God. He's my, I'm his, and he's mine because he's made me his. He chose me. He chose me to be his own. He sent his son and he bought me with the blood of his son. He gave us life by his spirit dwelling in us. He made his people so that we belong to him. Then we can pray with that confidence, knowing he'll not leave us alone. If he bought us, he's not going to leave us alone. And see, that's our confidence. Our confidence is not in what we've done. See, that's why we got to quit this taking counsel with ourselves and looking in here. Our confidence is not in what we've done or what we think or what we think we're going to do. Our confidence is in who God is. God is good. God's not going to forget. Our confidence is in what God has done for his people by his grace. That's our confidence. And here's another great thing to pray. When we can't see the face of the Lord, Lord, lighten my eyes. I can't see your face. So lighten mine eyes so that I see. Let me see your face. Lighten my eyes so I see Christ the Savior. And here's the key to this whole prayer. Lord, lighten my eyes so that I can see Christ crucified. Now, this is what I told us all Sunday. Now, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Let's get our eyes off of us. Lift up our eyes to Christ. Let's lift up our eyes off this world around us and lift them up to Christ. If we lift our eyes up to Christ crucified, our hearts are going to be lifted up too. Because he's our confidence. He's our assurance. Our confidence is in who our sacrifice is. If Christ is our sacrifice, God has no reason to take his presence from us, does he? Because Christ's blood puts our sin away. If Christ is our sacrifice, the enemy of my sin, my greatest enemy, my sin's not going to get the victory over me. Not if Christ died for me, it's not. He put my sin away. He blotted it out with his blood. If Christ is our life, we can't die. We can never die. David's praying here, Lord, restore your presence to me. If you don't, this misery is so great, I'm just going to die. This is what every believer is going to learn. I believe David's learning in this psalm. I can live without almost anything in this world. All the things that I enjoy, the people that I love and enjoy, I can live without any of them and without any of it. This is what I can't live without. The presence of the Lord. I can't live without him. David said, I can do without anything but you. Restore your presence to me or I'm going to die. And I'm certainly going to die eternally if you're not my sacrifice. If the Lord's not my life. If he's not dwelling in me, I'll die eternally. See, now David's praying, isn't he? I mean, he's praying. I mean, there's times that you pray and times you pray. David's praying. Here's something that I think will help us. This helped me as I was looking at this week. Talking to the Lord, about the Lord, going to lift up, give us confidence and lift our hearts up. Talking to the Lord, about the Lord, is going to give us some confidence and revive our heart. That's what happened to David. Here's a third point. Now David goes from praying to praising. Verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now David asked that the Lord lighten his eyes, that he be enabled to see Christ lifted up as a sacrifice for sin. And David saw Christ. When his heart started being reviving because he was talking to the Lord about the Lord, he began to rejoice in God's salvation. He began to rejoice in God's mercy to him. See, suddenly David has been set free from this fear that's been gripping his heart. And he's been set free from this sighing. You know why? Because Christ took all that sighing, all those reasons for sighing, Christ took them away from David. That's what enabled David to rejoice in God's mercy and God's salvation. See, the words of these first four verses, now they're David's words. These are the words of a believer. How long, Lord? But David is delivered from his sighing because these are also the words of Christ, the Son of David. Look back here at verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? See, that's Christ crying from the cross. At Calvary, the Son of God was made sin. So the Father turned his back on his Son, the sin offering. He's too holy to look on sin, even when it's found upon his Son. Now this is the Son who from eternity had daily been the delight of his Father. And rightfully so. He's perfect. He's glorious. Yet at Calvary, the Father turns his back on his Son in justice. And he cries, how long? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father forsook the Son because he's bearing the punishment that the sin of his people deserves. And since Christ our Savior bore that for his people, since the Father turned his back upon his Son, our substitute, the Father will never desert his people. He'll never forget his people. He'll never turn his back upon them. He'll hide his face for a little moment, but he'll never, ever, ever forsake his people because of their sin. Because he already punished Christ our substitute for it. Then look at verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, this is Christ crying from the cross. How long will this suffering last? You know, just the casual observer looks there at Calvary. It appears the enemy's winning the victory over him, doesn't it? It appears like he's defeated. I'm confident Satan thought he was winning the war. At that moment, I'm confident he thought he was winning the war. He knew who the Lord Jesus was. This is the Lord of glory. As he suffered and died, Satan thought, I'm winning the victory. But what was really happening? Our Savior was putting Satan out of business. Oh, his heel was bruised. But with that bruised heel, he crushed Satan's head and put him out of business. It sure looked like the will of man and the sin of man was winning at Calvary, wasn't it? And man was doing whatever they wanted to do, putting the Son of God to death. But what was really happening there? See, what was really happening? Sin was being put out of business. Christ was blotting it out with his blood, with the blood of his sacrifice. So he cries, how long? How long will he suffer? He'll suffer until justice is satisfied. He's going to suffer until all of the sin of all of God's elect has been paid for. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. Nobody took his life from him. He gave up the ghost. But he didn't give up the ghost until he had suffered everything the sin of his people deserves. And then he gave up the ghost to die to satisfy the law's last demand. Death for sin. Christ suffered until every enemy was defeated once and for all. So when Christ died, so did the power of the sin of his people. Christ died for you. Your sin can't harm you now. He took the sting away. When Christ died, so did the power of Satan. Satan can't harm you now. Now if Christ died for you, he can't. When Christ died, so did death. Death. For his people died when Christ died. The death of these bodies can never harm you now. He put every enemy out of business. And when the great transaction was done, our Savior said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This is what he's saying, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep the death. Sleep up there is in italics. It's been added by the translators. He's saying, consider me and hear me, lest I sleep death. The Lord Jesus said, Father, consider my sacrifice. Look upon my sacrifice with favor. See my sacrifice as payment for the sin of all my people. lest I sleep to death. Look at my sacrifice with favor. If the Father does not look upon the sacrifice of Christ with favor, he's going to stay dead. And there'll be no hope of salvation for any sinner. There's not going to be another sacrifice. If the Father doesn't look upon this sacrifice with favor, there's no hope of salvation. And we know the Father did look upon that sacrifice with favor, don't we? How do we know that? 3 days later, the Father raised Christ from the dead because sin was gone. The victory is won. And because of the victorious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, His people, no matter what our earthly circumstances happen to be at the moment, shall rejoice in God's salvation. They will suffer. They're going to go through times of suffering. But the Lord will always reveal Himself to them in the moment that glorifies Him the most. I got 3 examples for you. The impotent man, laying by the pool of Bethesda. Remember, the waters would be stirred up and the first one in there would be healed of whatever infirmity. This man was impotent. He couldn't walk. He couldn't roll over. He couldn't do anything to get himself to that water. He'd been there for 38 years. 38 years. Sean, you're a principal over a bunch of kindergartners now. 38 years ago, you weren't even in kindergarten. In some ways, 38 years goes like that. I mean, from the time you were Landry's age, it was like that. But if you're suffering every moment, 38 years is a long time. I mean, if you're suffering with a headache for a day is a long time. 38 years he suffered. That's a long time. Did the Lord know he was suffering? Yes, he did. But the Lord waited to reveal himself to this man on a specific Sabbath day so he could heal him, so he could tell him, take up your bed and walk, so people would know the Lord of the Sabbath is the Son who quickeneth whom he will. Then there was that poor blind man, blind from his birth. He spent his entire lifetime in darkness. It must have been a sad, sad state to see that man, that blind man there. Because the disciples asked the Lord, who sinned? Him or his father that caused this awful tragedy? The Lord said, no, this didn't happen because of that. This happened for my glory. That poor man, he was so miserable. He was without any help, without any visible means of support. I mean, his parents were willing to throw him under the bus, you know, after the Lord gave him sight. Did the Lord know he was suffering all that time? Yeah, he knew. Oh, how he suffered. There was no social net, nothing to help this poor guy. The Lord knew he was suffering, but he waited for his glory, for a specific Sabbath day, to make some mud out of spittle and put on that man's eyes and give him sight so that he could reveal himself as the light of the world. Then there's the woman with the issue of blood we read about. She'd been sick for a long time. This was no small thing. She was unclean according to the law. I mean, she just suffered so many things. This went on 13 years until she spent everything she had trying to get better. And she lost everything. She spent all her possessions. And she was no better off than the day this thing started. She spent 13 years taking counsel inside of her own self. Trying to take counsel with other men. Trying to fix this problem. And she suffered. 13 years. The Lord loved that woman. And a minute after she comes up and touches the hem of his garment, he called her daughter. As far as I know, it's the only person in Scripture the Lord Jesus spoke to and called daughter. I know a little bit about daughters. You love them. Oh, it's a tender love. Why do you let her suffer? How long, Lord? But he waited until she lost everything so that she'd crawl up on her hands and knees
touched the hem of his garment,
so that he could reveal himself as the object of faith, the saving object of faith. Then he told her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Behold your plague, go." You see, every believer goes through just exactly what David was suffering right here when he started. Sighing. Our grief and our pain and the troubles of this life, they cause us to sigh. They make us think we're all alone, we're on our own, we've got to do this ourselves, you know. But the Lord brings us to that point for this purpose. To cause us to pray. To cause us to seek Him. So that when He reveals Himself, oh, now we rejoice. We rejoice in Christ our Savior. And that brings me to my fourth point. Now David starts to sing. A heart of praise has got to sing out loud. Verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. I will sing, David said. I'll sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. I'll sing because He's dealt so bountifully with me. He dealt with me in bountiful, rich mercy. He dealt with me in plenteous, undeserved grace. He dealt with me bountifully, in abundant peace, abundant love. How bountifully has the Lord dealt with His people? So bountifully, eternity can't hold it. How long is our sorrow and sighing going to last? Just a little while. Just till we see Christ. How long is our rejoicing in Christ going to last? Eternally. Eternally. Because Christ, by His one sacrifice, hath obtained eternal redemption for us. And one more thing I want us to see before we close. From verse 1 to verse 6, not one thing in David's earthly existence changed. Not one thing changed. But whatever, we don't know what troubles it was that prompted David to write this psalm. It was Saul or Abner or Joab or Shimei or Absalom or Michael. Whoever, whatever caused this problem, caused him to begin to sigh in the first place. None of that's changed at all in the time it took him to write these six verses. Then what changed? What changed to cause David to go from sighing to singing? It was the sight of the Savior by faith. That was all it took. And it's the same sight, the same eyes of faith, the same sight of Christ that will comfort our hearts and cause us to go from sighing to singing. As I prepared this message, I thought, this is a good message for Wednesday night. The gospel's good anytime. This is a good message for Wednesday night. You know, on Wednesdays now, my day goes, I sit in my study all day, you know, and come out and get ready to go to church. But I remember getting up 5 o'clock in the morning and going to work and working all day in the, and sighing. Just, ugh. And dragging myself in here with the need. That suit it? Huh? I pray that the Lord give us a sight of our Lord Jesus Christ. We came in sighing. I hope we can leave here tonight singing with joy, rejoicing in our hearts. Gone all the way from sighing to singing. All right, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for this precious portion of Your Word. How we thank You for the teaching, for the instruction. To know when we go through these times of suffering, sorrow, and grief, and darkness, and pain, and fears, and doubts, that You've not forgotten Your people. That You just hide Your face for a little moment so that You can reveal Yourself to Your people in more glory and grace and mercy. That You comfort our hearts with the sight of you. Father, as we go through this valley, cause us to ever seek you. Cause us to ever look outside of ourselves and constantly look to Christ our Savior. Father, restore us. Just give a refreshing to the hearts of your people through the sight of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cause his name be glorified, that your people would be comforted and edified and instructed and being able to worship at your feet. For it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and give thanks. Amen.